May I have a question from Vishaka Devi Dasino? I have three questions, although they're numbered 1, 3, 4. On my Vyas Pooj day, I mentioned a few things. Devotees should stick to their authorities more than ever before. Now before, because it could be a question of life and death. Because the coronavirus is here, and therefore devotees can contact that. Now, that's a question of life and death, and better, therefore, to be very careful. Well, how should I do? How should I act in terms of my conduct? And of course, I'm talking in Rajadam, I'm talking to devotees who are living in the temple. So these are four temple devotees, New Rajadam devotees, Budapest devotees, and so on. It applies to everybody, but particularly applies to them. In order to wade through this whole episode of COVID-19, it's going to take a real cooperative joint effort by devotees, and devotees to be very attentive and very careful, because the stakes are higher than before, and so when there's danger, then you're more attentive to following authority and being careful not to get diverted from the path that's recommended by leaders. I thought it was a pretty self-evident thing. Second question, there's not going to be any perfect path because they're really uncharted waters. So, temples shut down, the temples opened up, the temple may get shut down again, temples open up. What should we do? How should we do? How should we do Sankirtan? How should we connect with people? These are and it's a issue of what happens to us, what happens to the people that we connect. What about Sunday programs? Devotees coming to the temple. We don't have experience. Governments don't have experience with. The cost is in the tens of thousands of lives in countries like America, the UK, and so on. Don't have experience exactly what to do. This is not like something that happens to us every 2 months, and therefore we got lots of experience and we know what to do. They have some experience, but as far as I understand, because all of these different viruses are different, they act differently, they behave differently, therefore they have to be dealt with on an individual level. So similarly, for our devotees and leaders, they're also faced with a situation that we don't have experience with. So how to deal with that? You may not be saying, oh yeah, this is the way to do it. And mistakes may be made in the process. Later on, it may be easy to say, well, it should have been like this, it should have been like that. In the meantime, there may not be any perfect way. But in any case, the perfect way is the way when we're chanting Hare Krishna. How the end result comes up, that we sort of leave to Krishna. And the last question from her spoke about when the golden age will come, that people will live like, for instance, in New Brajadam. Comment is, I thought the golden age is already here. I don't know where she lives, maybe the golden age is there. Golden age isn't here, at least not where I am. At least not what I envisage is the golden age, which is when everyone's chanting the names of the Lord, people are all Krishna conscious, and Krishna consciousness movement has really made its influence felt globally in a very significant way. As far as what I understand is, we are in the Sandhya, we are in a transition towards the golden age. It started 500 years ago. It goes, ascends for 500 years and then 5,000 years, pardon, and then it descends for 5,000 years. So in the sense that we're in the transition into the golden age, we're in the golden age, but the golden age does not manifest its full glory. It's like the dawning. I think that's the way things happen in terms of ages. I can't remember. Bhagavatam says the length, or elsewhere it says what the length of a transition or a sandhya is, whether it's 10% or part of an age. In any case, it takes time from one age to another. They don't just pop in and pop out just like that. So that's why the golden age is coming. Gornitai Das is asking a question about Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where he's got lots of questions about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He's reading it. And Gop Kumar already has a spiritual body, and when he sees the Lord, he got bewildered because he doesn't know whether he's seeing the Lord with his eyes, with his mind, with his senses. So Gornitai says, well, how's it possible for a transcendentalist to be bewildered? That's because bewilderment is one of the sattvika bhavas, that one gets, experiences bewilderment. It's the influence of prema, the overwhelming effect of love of God. Is such that a person becomes, whatever a particular situation is, she becomes confused. So Gop Kumar also, in seeing the Lord, became just so overwhelmed. He didn't know, now am I really seeing him, or am I just, is he just in my mind, and so on. And the last question is from Abhay Chaitanya. He's asking a question that I've talked about quite a bit, but about what kind of kirtan should we have? Western kirtan, raga kirtan, combination. Is there any shastra? I don't know of shastra. The shastra that I have read is, yes, very, that is with the Krishna's liberated associates, gopis, cowherd girls. They sing very beautiful raga style kirtan, and yet we see that wasn't what Srila Prabhupada emphasized. Prabhupada was concerned that we don't become distracted with a lot of things that would take our time away from preaching and from becoming Krishna conscious, such as getting too absorbed in music. That said, if someone knows ragas and can sing them nicely, and then the question is, will everybody else be able to follow because we're doing sankirtan? No one else can follow, then it becomes a source of confusion. Western style kirtan means not necessarily ragas and so on, other tunes or westernized tunes of Indian singing in a different way is all right. The GBC has certain recommendations, not laws, as to what they recommend kirtan should be. The devotees can look that up. That's also restricted. Kirtan, mridanga, kartels, except in festival times for kirtan and the principle is that it should just be very pleasing. It should be pleasing to guests, it should be pleasing to Krishna, it should be pleasing to devotees, it should facilitate their hearing the holy name. It shouldn't, kirtan should not be a distraction from the holy name. It shouldn't be on the music. The importance is that the emphasis should be on the holy name. And if that's going on, then nam nam akari bahudan nijasarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smaranina kala. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there are no hard and fast rules for kirtan. Nonetheless, Srila Prabhupada had given us certain rules that facilitate our chanting so that neither we become too unruly, and that's a good word, unruly, neither that we diverge from things that would be suitable as institutional norms. Hare Krishna.